When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis, and today I have with me Kate Buda, and I am so excited to talk to Kate today. I had a great opportunity of meeting her at an event that both she and I were speaking at called Diversified Mortgage Expo. I had to think of the other, I was thinking it was assets, but Diversified Mortgage Expo, which I thought was pretty interesting because, you know, as a previous lender, I would have thought that this was all kinds of diversified mortgages, but it was really focused on note holding, right? Just holding, buying and selling notes. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have Kate on here today, because I want to share this with you, you know, especially as loan officers and real estate agents and investors who are listening in on this podcast. You know, I think it's important for us to be diversifying. I think it's important for us to have multiple avenues of revenue that are coming in for us all the time. And that's exactly what notes do. And that's why I hold notes. And that's why we're going to talk to Kate about getting in. There's something very specific about what she does that I want you to listen in on. And we'll kind of hold that off here just a little bit. But I think one of the challenges that people have, I'll come to that in a minute, Kate. Let me introduce you first. She joined Ignite Funding Team, which I absolutely love the name. As I told you, that's the name of one of my programs, one of my coaching programs, Ignite Funding Team at the beginning of 2021, and has quickly made herself an integral part of the team. She seamlessly adapted her role to her role of educating potential clients on the benefits of diversification with trust deed investments, AKA note holding. To maintain a balanced portfolio, Kate brings with her over 30 years of sales and hospitality experience as a director of global sales. She was responsible for $100 million in revenue internationally. So welcome to our podcast. We're so happy to have you here today, Kate.
Yes, thanks for asking me. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just, I want to dispel a couple of myths. You know, the first myth is that most people say, well, in order to be a note holder, you have to have tons of money. And do I liquidate my 401k? Do I, you know, not have IRA? Do I, you know, and I know you're not going to give tax advice, but I think the biggest myth is that you have to have a ton of money to be able to invest in notes. And that's something that I want you to dispel right away.
Yeah, not true. We actually work, you do not have to be an accredited investor in order to work with us. Our minimum investment amount on any trust deed or note that you see with us is $10,000, right? So it's a very, very low bar for entry. The reason that we do that is because of that, dispelling that, right? When you think of owning property or, you know, investing in real estate, you immediately go to the fact that, oh my gosh, I have to own a property. I have to be someone's landlord. I have to collect rents. I have maintenance. That's not the case. The investments that we offer are completely passive. We handle it all, and it's a lower bar for entry. So it gives a lot of people the opportunity to stick their toe in the water, see what these type of investments are about, and then grow their wealth that way.
Yeah. So can you explain for those that are just listening for the first time and haven't listened to the thousands of emails. I shouldn't say thousands. I would say at least 20, maybe 30 podcasts that I've done or episodes that I've done on this show with investors, right? With investment avenues. Can you explain the difference between accredited and credited investors so that people understand that as well?
So an accredited investor is someone that normally has to provide $1 million of net worth. They have to provide their financials. They are given certain accreditations, right? That they will supply to someone that is a company that says you have to be accredited. Normally, these companies that are requiring the accreditation, minimum buy-in on a project with them is anywhere between $50,000 to $250,000 to start. Right. Mm-hmm. And so with us, there are still suitability requirements that we are regulated by the state of Nevada that we have to discuss with all of our clients. So you have to either have a $250,000 net worth, not including equity in your primary residence, or make $70,000 per year over the last 2 years. Now, we are you will sign off on this on your loan documents when you open an account with us that you meet one or the other in order to invest with us. The reason that we ask these questions, the state regulations want to make sure that we are not taking your last $10,000 if something happens that you needed to live off of, right? Yeah. So you have to sign off that you meet those qualifications. We do not ask for verification on that, but you will sign off that, yes, this is not my last that I'm investing.
And that's protection for you. And certainly, you know, people that are investors, realtors, and mortgage loan officers, they get that. They certainly understand that. And I want to be making sure it's really clear too. It's an either or, it's not an and. And that's the same in accreditation too. In accreditation, you need to make $250,000 or more a year, or have $1 million in investable asset, not your primary residence. So, not equity in your house, the net worth. So, okay. So now that we've cleared that up, you know, most people that are listening here are making $70,000. Many may have $250,000 somewhere, you know, maybe in that 401k or someplace else. Yeah. So assuming that someone's there, let's talk about, and I have to look this up again because trust deed, I don't usually use that word. Actually, when I think of trust deed, for some reason, I'm thinking about, buying tax liens, because sometimes in some states, you know, you're buying a tax deed. So I'm thinking of the same thing, right? Okay. So let's talk about note holding. Why is this become such a popular thing that, my gosh, there was an expo with 200 people coming to it. Why is this becoming such a big deal? And what are, I know you're not a tax person, but what are the tax benefits and pitfalls to this? Because there are certain things we need to be aware of other than just, okay, I'm going to get income. Are you going to keep it all?
Right. Exactly. So from a tax perspective, right, the one thing that people need to look at, just like owning a property, right? If you're someone's landlord and you sell that house, if you're going to buy something else, you got to deal with a 1031 exchange. Right? Capital gains taxes, things like that. On this side, when you're doing this type of investing, there are tax implications, but what you will get from us is you'll get a 1099 INT form. So the interest that you earn on the investments with Ignite Funding is earned income. So it's added to your earned income at the end of the year, right? And then you will pay taxes on that. Again, not a tax professional, but what I would tell you is to definitely contact your CPA, because if the interest that you're going to earn here is going to throw you into the next tax bracket, that's a conversation that you should actually have with your CPA and figure out what those implications might be. But in most cases, right, we do have different accounts that you can open. People can invest with their, if they're with a self-directed IRA. Right. You can also use those funds to invest, and we can also keep the interest tax deferred for you until you actually get to the age where you're, drawing off of that. So if it's also a Roth, right, those funds that are going back into that Roth are tax deferred also.
So let's talk a little bit about the fact that you had said this is passive income. I think what people, when people hear the word passive income, they think it's just tax deferred, tax free, tax everything. You mentioned, you know, this is considered earned income because it's interest. I totally get that. Help us understand what you mean by passive income so that everyone understands that fully.
Yeah, passive income. When you invest in these type of notes, right, we handle everything for you. So when we talk about passive, even back to the conference that we were at, you know, a lot of people that are note investors are finding their deals themselves. Passive for us, we handle everything for you. So mm-hmm. we have an underwriting department that is vetting our borrowers. They're vetting the property, the borrower's ability to pay. So when we're putting investments out there in real estate to our investors, everything's been fully vetted, right? We have all the information. We're putting it out there. We are offering these investments at a 10 to 12% return to our investors. We are providing them with monthly interest payments on their investment. So on the 15th of each month, you're going to receive a check, ACH into your account, however your account's set up, however you want those funds transacted to you. We handle all of it. You are essentially going to tell us what loan you want to go on, how much you want to place. You sit back, you sign those documents, you get the power of attorney notarized, you're in that loan, and you're sitting back and you're earning your interest monthly. The loan terms are short, anywhere, I would tell you, between 9 to 27 months max. Our investors know the term of the loan before they even sign into it. And then you just sit back for, let's say, the next 18 months, you get your interest each month. And then at the end of that 18 months, you get your principal investment back. And then ideally you're, you know, compounding that, reinvesting it with us. And then, you know, interest, let's say your minimum investment's 10,000, right? You're in it for 18 months. You're earning, you know, a little less than $1,800 in that time. You're taking that $10,000 investment plus the $1,800, maybe you have a little extra, maybe your next investment's $15,000, let's say, right? And so you're keep compounding that, keep investing in the real estate. The trust deed part, you know, to kind of look at that is because when you're investing in these notes, they're all first positions, meaning all our investors are listed on the deed of trust by name, by their percentage of their investment amount. And that is the collateral for your investment. So it's not like you're just giving us your money. You're now the lender to this borrower and you don't have anything tangible. You have that tangible asset. It's the collateral for your investment. If a borrower ever stops paying for any reason, part of the passiveness is Ignite Funding is going to foreclose on that property on behalf of our investors, take it back and turn around and sell it to make sure our investors don't lose their principal investment monies. So when we talk about passive and us handling it for you, you're not sourcing it. You're not vetting it. You're not doing any of those things. We provide you with all the information that we got for the borrower. So we vet them just like a bank would. Credit scores, tax returns, all of those things, right? And once you're an investor of ours, we will provide you with that information. So you know that we fully vetted our client, right? Our borrower. And then you get a comfort level with us, how we vet, our vetting process, information that we give out. And then you can also, you know, it gives that comfort level between us and our clients.
I love it. I have a couple of questions to follow up because I know that everyone who's listening is saying, okay, ask her this, right? So I have a couple of questions, you know, to, it's just that curiosity. I have quite a few questions because I want to make sure everybody gets the answers, you know, to all their questions. Do you happen to know the percentage of people that find their own deals versus what you offer? Okay, maybe that percentage of people that try to find their own deals versus what you offer. And then how many other companies do what you all do? And you can, that's, so this is your competitive advantage, right? So if you could answer the first part first and then the second,
Yeah, from a percentage standpoint, that I don't know. I mean, I did find it very interesting that when we attended that conference, there was a wide range of people that were there, right? There were people that were just starting out, trying to figure out how to source their own deals and there, and it really ran the gamut to people that had been doing this for a long time and had sourced hundreds of deals on their own, right? Yeah. There was, and there was a lot of people in between. And I would tell you that with an industry like this, you know, it is hard. It's all about networking, right? There, people starting out, right? You're going to get, hopefully not, into several bad deals before you hit that one and get your secret sauce, right? And know how you're going to source them, what to look for, all of those things, right? So from a percentage standpoint, that I don't have an exact percentage, but I will tell you that a lot of the clients that I do talk to are migrating to more of this type of investing rather than sourcing their own deals, right? Yeah. Because with the market conditions the way they are today, it's a lot harder to source your own deals, right? There's not as many deals that are out there. And as you know, look at how many people that were out at that conference. Everyone is trying to source their own deals, right? And they're not out there. So if you can go to one company, right? And we're releasing, just to give the people that are listening an idea, we're releasing anywhere between 5 to 10 new investment opportunities on a monthly basis, right?
Okay. Yeah,
this month alone, we funded $29 million. Mm-hmm. Next month is going to be our biggest month ever. We're going to be putting out there and funding $70 million. Now, all that we're funding, to be very clear, is all private investors. We don't take any bank financing when we're doing these. So all investors that are looking to jump in. So we are seeing an increase, kind of a little bit of a shift, because it is harder and harder to source these deals, of them looking for companies like us, which leads, you know, into that next question that you were asking, right? How many companies are out there that are doing what we do? Mm-hmm. I will tell you that there are several. You need to be very careful when you're vetting them. Make sure that you're doing your research. There's a lot of crowdfunding that's out there, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, you don't even have to talk to anybody. It's smaller dollar amounts. You can put in $100, $500, $1,000, whatever it is, right? But if you actually get them on the phone and you ask the questions, if they're not transparent with their information, you need to immediately hang up the phone, right?
And of course,
if you don't feel good about it, don't do it. I will tell you that a lot of these crowdfunding sources, they don't tell you that it's a second position. And a lot of the people that are jumping into this, I mean, a lot of your listeners are a lot more savvy when it comes to real estate, but people that are just starting out don't know the questions to ask. And you're on a second position note and that borrower stops paying, you don't have a whole lot of options.
You're
pretty much out your money at that point, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know to ask those questions. The other thing is, what is their default rate? What does that look like? And there's some out there, and I'm not going to name any names, but when we ask the questions, their default rate's 70%. If you're investing with one of them and you don't ask those questions and you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're going to tell you, oh, it's at 70%, you're going to run fast the other way, because you're going to be like, what are they doing? Right? Yeah. Are they vetting these borrowers properly? What about the property? Things like that. So, there's a lot of them out there. I will tell you, please, please weed through them. Do your due diligence. And if they can't immediately answer a question when you have them on the phone, something's wrong. Because as I talk about this all the time, all day, any question that any of my clients have, I can rattle off the answer in an instant.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Some other questions. So you obviously are making money. You have a fee that's associated with this. Is this something that's absorbed by all the investors? Is it absorbed by the client? Is it part of just the return? You know, that, for example, you might say, hey, look, on this note, we're going to offer X percent on return, and then you have it buffered so that you're actually getting a little bit higher percentage, for your administrative costs.
Lowest rate of return that we offer to our investors is 10%. If you are receiving 10%, you can guarantee that we are charging that borrower 12%. The additional 2% is what Ignite Funding keeps from a monthly servicing perspective.
Yep. Right? I get it. And yeah, you got to.
We are also originating those loans. And we're also originating the loans, right? So because we are full service, so any origination fees or points, the borrower is paying that directly to Ignite Funding. So our investors do not pay anything to have an account with us or to do any investing with us. It's all paid by the borrower.
Okay, got it. The next question I have, and then I want to get to some other pieces of this, is, and I know you sent me a list of questions, but isn't it funny that I haven't even looked at it? I have no idea. I bet I have an answer. Well, maybe there's something. What's the minimum investment amount? I got it. But generally, I'm just curious, you know, myself. And I had told you when I met you, I said, I don't want you to answer anything because I just want to find out. So you mentioned minimum investment of 10,000 up to higher amounts. So you could take on a higher percentage of any given loan. You could scatter the 10 grand, you know, across a variety of different loans if you wanted to. Is the return on the investment for the investor higher when they have higher risk associated? I'm going to call it risk, you know, or higher investment. Mm-hmm. And is the rate different if we want to hold for 9 versus 27 months? And is that option in there to say, you know, look, I'm going to get into this for 27 months, but now I want my money back for whatever reason. Can I sell it on a discount to another investor? Can you put someone in? So I know that's a very loaded question, but you know exactly where I'm heading with this is, you know, what is that, you know, horizontal and vertical look like? Yeah.
Right. So these investments aren't liquid. So once you're in an investment and it's the way that we write it. So let's say it's 18 months. It's written as 1 9-month loan term with one optional 9-month extension to the borrower. I do always tell my clients that if you see that, expect to be in that loan for 18 months. But what I will also tell you is on average, since we've been doing this type of lending since 2011, our average loan term is a little over 10 months. We don't charge our borrowers prepayment penalties, right? They can pay off that loan at any time. It can be an 18-month loan and they can come in 90 days down the road and pay it off, right? We don't know that. I mean, literally, we get a wire and the loan's paid off.
Oh,
we're like,
it's paid off.
Okay, great. And then we get our investors in. We're like, okay, which is good because then it gives the investors time to see the process from start to finish. You saw the loan origination process and you also received a payoff. So this is how our system works. So let's get you into something else, right? And they're normally comfortable with that because they do want to see it from start to finish. So no real aftermarket for things like this because they're not liquid. So once you're in, you're in. What I will tell my investors is just know 18 months. And 18 months, believe it or not, sounds like a little bit, but it goes by
it
so
isn't.
Fast.
It's
really not. When you're talking about these funds, because a lot of them are in funds that I talk to, they have a 3 to 5 year hold in some cases. So 18 months to them is nothing.
Yeah, I know. I'm in a syndication for 3 years. I'm in a syndication for 5. I'm in another note hold for 24 months. Okay. So that sounds good. And then the return on the investment for the investor, is that based on how much they put in? Is that also scaled or is it pretty much the same for everybody?
It's pretty much the same for everybody. The only caveat to that is on some of the loans that we do for investors that are coming in with higher dollar amounts, meaning over $100,000 in one particular loan, we will increase it by 0.5 percentage point. So it would be a 10.5%, for example. There are some, I will tell you on average, anywhere between 10 to 11 is what you're going to see from us. Now that is fixed, monthly fixed. So that is what you would be receiving. If it's a $12,000 investment, 10%, you're getting $100 a month.
Yeah, $1,200 a year. Okay.
Over that $100,000 mark. You know, 10 and a half. And that extra half a point is something that we at Ignite Funding do for those higher investors. We kick in a half of our servicing point. So that 2% that I was telling you, we keep, we give a half a point away to that investor that's coming.
I figured that would be the case just because you don't have to find, you know, 17 or 10 more investors at 10 grand. Okay. That sounds good. Are you lending everywhere in all states?
So yes, we do lend throughout the United States. We do, but there's a caveat because these are trusted investments. We prefer to stay in trusted states versus mortgage states. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know the difference. In a trusted state, if we need to file that notice of default and foreclose on the property, we can take that property back in 120 days. Now in a mortgage state, which we do tend to stay away from, you have to deal with the judicial system. And that can take 3 to 5 years to get a property back
and
foreclose.
New Jersey is one of them.
It absolutely is. One of the ways that we mitigate risk for our investors is making sure that we do stay in a trusted state. Now, there are some states that are both. Now, if we go into a state like that, we make sure that it is written as a trustee and not the mortgage side of it.
Okay, so thank you. I appreciate that. Now I want to go into more like the origination piece of this because, anyone who's listening, we're talking about this as an investor. Now let's talk about it as an originator. I'm going to do that for a second just looking for it. And I know that this is actually, it's a three-pronged question, but I'm just going to ask you each piece of it. One is, can someone bring a deal to you that's in a trust deed state that is a first mortgage? Can people bring deals to you? And what does that look like when they do bring deals to you? Because these are loan officers that are saying, hey, I can't get my deal closed because of some quirky guideline under Fannie and Freddie, which, I'm assuming you're a portfolio and private lender and not really selling on the secondary market, but it just doesn't fit the quirkiness and the underwriters, heck bent on some guideline. We have real estate agents that are, people are going to buy cash for a house. And then all of a sudden something happens, they can't pay cash and they're in a pickle. I'm not talking about being a bad client. It's just maybe, the IRS lets us write everything off and prove we don't make any money. And then we have to start proving we do make money. So give me an idea of what type of deal we could bring to you if we ran across a deal.
I will tell you that we will look at anything. Our director of underwriting will look at whatever is submitted, but we do have lending criteria. Mm-hmm. And you can find that on our website. But what I will tell you is we are pretty strict with some, meaning that the borrowers that we work with have to have a minimum of 10 years because we deal mainly in commercial development. Right. And the reason for that is not only are we vetting that borrower, we also want to see projects that they have done in that time frame from start to finish. Now, if it's a new borrower that we're putting out there, right, they might have 40 years of experience doing development projects that you've completed from start to finish. And we will go out. We're boots on the ground. The president of our company and our director of underwriting are out there actually looking at these projects, looking at the current project that they want us to fund. We're meeting with them. There's a lot of the behind the scenes that happens before we even put that out to our investors, just to kind of give you an idea.
Yeah.
We are lending anywhere from 500,000 up to, I would tell you, over 20 million currently. Right? It just depends on the deal. We are looking for the equity in the property, right? It's normally 75% or less loan to value is what we're looking for. What kind of skin in the game are they going to put in? So there's a lot of different factors that go into it when we're vetting a project. But what I would tell you is if you have something, definitely go onto our website, look at the lending criteria. If you meet that, there's a button there for borrower information. Put that in there, send it over to our underwriter, let him take a look at it, have a conversation with him, and then you'll know if we're the right fit for you, you're the right fit for us, and then we can kind of take it from there.
Okay, got it. So you're doing, I'm glad I asked that question because I was thinking, because most of my investments are in residential when it comes to note holding. I'm glad I asked that question. So you're doing commercial. So that's kind of interesting. So, if you're listening to this and you're a residential loan officer, residential realtor, I mean, for goodness sake, as a residential realtor, you sell real estate. So look at commercial as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of a insight into, you said you're going to be closing 5 to 10 deals this month. If you can remember them, tell us a little bit about those deals. Is a laundromat, one is a car wash, give us a little bit of a perspective on those deals so that we can be aware of what we're investing in and what we potentially could bring to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the borrowers that come to us, and I just want to say that they do continue to come back to us for lending. About 90% of them continue to come back.
It's easier.
Now, this month alone, it is easier. And I will tell you, it's easier than dealing with the bank. They're taking 3 to 6 months right now to get something done. Yeah. Now, one of the loans that we did, just to kind of give you an idea, is with a borrower that we work with up in Colorado Springs called Gray's Development or Local Homes, right? Mm-hmm. This is a townhome developer. They find a piece of property that they want to acquire. The bank and that seller, the seller's not going to wait 6 months to get their funds, right? That deal's done. Because it's a borrower that we've worked with previously, we can raise the capital and close on their loan anywhere between 7 to 14 days. Wow. So it's a fast turn that they can go and purchase that property. Now, when I say home developer, right, they're building 100, 200 townhomes,
apartment units
right now, right? Because with the interest rates, with the interest rates being higher, right, we have kind of shifted our lending model away from single family developers to the townhome and apartments, because we do understand if they got, if the client got knocked out of the market because of those interest rates, single family, they can still afford the townhome. So you'll see us lending on that. Or they need to rent anywhere between 2 to 4 years longer than anticipated to kind of see, you know, to get them back in the game, get them qualified at the higher interest rate, whatever that is, right? So there's a need for both of those types of buildings right now. The other thing that we are funding on are medical facilities.
Okay.
We all know what's going on with with the communities and the need for medical and extended care facilities. So we have one borrower in particular, which does amazing. This is probably the eighth deal that we've done with him strictly in medical. He used to be a home builder and now has gone on to that, the side. He does a lot in Arizona and the Nevada area. And he will have a buyer for the property. It could be a 48 bed facility, for example, right? That we funded for him. He already has a buyer for that property before we even funded the loan. So, and his deals are normally 27 months because he is from land acquisition to certificate of occupancy, right?
Right.
So as he gets that certificate of occupancy, that property is now sold to that particular, whether it's a regional health center or whoever's managing
the
it,
buyer.
Right? And then they take it over. And it's normally for $5 to $8 million more than we're loaning to him, right?
Yeah.
So as an investor looking at us, right, the security is you already have a letter of intent to purchase. There's normally a non-refundable $1 to $1.5 million that's already on that deal from that particular person that's, you know, purchasing the property. So there's a little bit more skin in the game on a particular deal like that. We also have, and that particular, you know, borrower, we've done over $75 million with him that he's paid off.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always that kind of track record, all those stats that we can give you before you, you know, you jump in with us and do an investment. But it really runs the gamut. So I would tell you, larger home development is also very big. And when I say larger home development, we're talking on average of $1.5 million on up, but the borrowers that are coming to us for that product, right? They're smaller units. They might be building 15 of those homes, right?
Yes.
They're not out there building 100. It's 15 smaller scale. And people are like, are they buying those right now? Their clientele in most cases are coming in the paying cash. They don't need the financing. Right. So it's for, you know, and so a lot of those different deals, that's the kind of stuff that we're actually looking at and we're funding right now.
Okay, good. Got it. Yeah. So it's almost like bridge financing for short-term bridge financing.
They call us bridge, hard money.
Right.
Money, you know, we're known by a lot of different things, but yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So that explains all that. I wanted to just know, and if I am catching you off guard here, just tell me that you are, but selling notes on discount, just as a general, this has nothing really to do with Ignite Funding, but selling notes on a discount and non-performing assets on a discount. Tell us what your knowledge is around that and some of the perspective that you have regarding, you know, the buy and sell of notes at a discount and buying non-performing assets, which most people that are listening to this are going, why would you want a non-performing asset? That doesn't make
any
sense.
Right. I mean, and I can speak to some of it. It's not anything that we handle because we don't sell any of our paper. We keep all of our paper. I know that at the conference that we were at, a lot of people are out there looking for only non-performing notes.
Yeah.
And that's what they can get. But to your point, why do you want a non-performing note? So I know that there's a lot that goes into that behind that, and you want to get it performing again. But in a lot of those cases, and you might know some of this, you're going to have a longer hold time. Now, what if you purchase that non-performing note and they can't get it together?
Yeah.
And now, you know, property values have gone down. You're holding a non-performing note. You've been holding it for a while. property values and looking at that. There's a lot that goes in to looking at the purchase of those non-performing notes that, you know, I would tell you, if you are really good at it, congratulations.
Right. I think it's a unique niche, and I am looking at it only because I want to have knowledge around it, but I'm still very apprehensive about, you know, anything that has to do with that. Cause I have had non-performing notes in my own portfolio and I don't really like to deal with them. And it's funny because we tend to hold on to them so tight and saying, well, we'll foreclose on it. And people have reached out to me and said, hey, we want to buy your non-performing note at a discount. And, and as an investor, I'm like, yeah, but if I give away that X amount of money, then that's the money I wouldn't be able to get if I can get myself through this. And I think where the issue is, you know, is that people are buying these at a substantial discount to get them off your, the monkey off your back, right? So to speak.
I think that's
really cool. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's just your perspective and I think that, you know, it's valuable. What would you like to tell someone who's listening? As we're wrapping up our time together, what's one thing that I haven't discussed, or maybe something that we have discussed that you just want to reemphasize for the person who's listening, who may be interested in communicating with you guys, with you, you know, your company?
I would tell you to make sure you're diversifying your portfolio, right? I talk to a lot of people that aren't familiar with real estate investing at all, aren't familiar with these type of investments, stay strictly in the stock market. I've talked to a lot of people that have lost a lot of money in the stock market. Mm-hmm. I myself have lost money in the market. The only place that I made money was real estate last year. Mm-hmm. Take a look at it, right? Do your research, but make sure that you are taking a look at it, because in real estate, you have a tangible asset. That tangible asset, even though you're losing money in the market, is never going to be worth zero, right? I mean, realistically, it's not going to happen. So real estate investing is a good way to diversify your portfolio. If you're not looking into it, absolutely start. Look at the, like you're doing these podcasts and different things like that. Here at Ignite Funding, we are very big on education. We also do our own podcasts. You will hear from like the president of the company, our director of underwriting, even our borrowers. If we're doing a new deal, we'll have that borrower come in, do a podcast with us. They'll talk about where their climate is, right? What does that look like from an economical standpoint? How many units are they selling? All of those things, right? It's great education. And, you know, if you still have questions, you know, I'm here. I love to educate people on these type of real estate investments, because I do think that it is so important that, you know, there's so many things thrown at people right now, crypto, oil, gas, you know, all of these things. Everybody wants your attention. Jump in here, come do this, right? But just do your due diligence. And I would tell you that is the one thing that I do talk to people about a lot, is just make sure that you're educated on whatever you're investing in. It's so important, right? If you don't know, maybe don't go, right?
Yeah. Oh, you got a new phrase. If you don't know, don't go. Yeah. I always say, let go to grow, right? Like, let go to grow. That's what, one of the things I say, but I love that. If you don't know, don't grow or don't go there. I love that. Yeah. Kate, what is the best way for people to get in touch with you? The best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way is you can give me a call. My phone number directly, direct line is 702-921-5168. You can reach out to me online at kbutta, B-U-T-T-A, at ignitefunding.com. Send me an email. Say, hey, I heard you today. Can we talk a little further? And I'm more than happy to reach out to you. We'll schedule an appointment. It doesn't cost you anything to find out more information.
I know. Listen, you're talking to the choir here, because we have to say that to clients all the time. It doesn't cost you anything to explore a loan. It doesn't cost you anything to explore. That sounds great. Well, you've been a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that I'm happy that your company is called Ignite Funding, because that's what drew me over to your table. And then I was pleasantly surprised and got the added bonus of being able to have a conversation with you and learn a little bit more about what you're doing. So thank you so much for taking time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So everyone, I want to say again, thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to scroll down, give us a great 5-star review, give some comments back on Kate's episode here. We'd love to hear what you learned here, what you're going to take in action. And also don't forget to click on the notes below. We'll have lots of notes, you know, that have links to Ignite funding and other things, but we do have another Limitless coming up in August. It's virtual. So please click on that link, get yourself registered for that Limitless, and we hope to see you there. So with that, we'll catch you next time on Mortgage Lending Mastery.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.